In the first part of chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has described to his readers how he has been making every effort to ensure that there is no fault in his ministry, no obstacle to anyone taking full advantage of the grace of God in this day of salvation. He does so because within the church in Corinth, there are some who are claiming that Paul is unreliable, and therefore that his ministry is untrustworthy. And Paul is answering those claims and seeking to stir to the remembrance of the Corinthians the service that he has rendered them, the manner of life that he lived in those first 18 months or so in which he lived among them and served them the gospel, how he had endured and how he had established them in their faith. He draws to their attention the kind of lifestyle that he lives consistently as he moves from place to place, seeking to make disciples for Jesus Christ from people of every nation and every language. He is a man who has been abused. He is a man who has been mistreated. He's a man who has been misunderstood. He's a man who has been tortured and imprisoned. He is a man who has been in danger in a myriad of different ways. And he has done all of this in service to the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of the church. He is an apostle of Christ by the will of God and a minister of the new covenant. And his lifestyle has been marked as one who follows in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, who brought the covenant of God to sinful men and women and boys and girls so that it would be their covenant, so that it would be their grace, so that it would be their salvation. And Jesus Christ suffered in order to secure this salvation for sinners. Jesus Christ was misunderstood. Jesus Christ was misrepresented. He was rejected, and he was scorned, and he was ill-treated. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And Paul doesn't think that he can expect anything better in his own life, following such a saviour, following such a master in the service of such a king. How can he expect to be treated with peace and a welcome and given an honour and a reverence by all that he should meet, when Jesus Christ, his own Saviour, was not treated in that way? The Apostle Paul understands that the apostolic office is an office that will incur the hostility of this world and those who are appointed to it will suffer with Christ as they labour with him. This is in stark contrast to the thinking of some in the church in Corinth, who think that the Christian life and the Christian ministry should be not marked by suffering but success, not marked by sorrow but should be marked by happiness and a smile. They think that there is a richness to the ministerial work that should elevate them above all others and enable them to stand apart, to be venerated and applauded. And yet Paul is a man who stoops that he might lift the wounded and the fallen and the brokenhearted and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, where they may be enveloped in his love and receive from him mercy and grace to help them in their time of need. The Apostle Paul would enter into the gutters of society to seek and to save those who are outcasts and the abomination of the earth. He would look for the sinners. He would look for those who were hurting and oppressed, for they are the people who need God. The righteous do not need him. They're not looking for him. They're self-satisfied in their own abilities and in their own achievements. And the Apostle Paul then is a man who associates with those who are the cast-offs of society, the scourge of society. These are the people that Paul identifies with, and it is with these people that Paul is seen. And these are the people who make up the church in Corinth. These are the people, not many of them are wealthy. Not many of them are powerful. Not many of them are of noble birth. They are the outcasts. They are the downtrodden. They are the slaves. And the gospel has come to them, because this was Paul's mission. This was Paul's calling. This was Paul's priority. And they have experienced the love of God in Christ Jesus through Paul's ministry to them. Paul has told us all that he has endured in order to bring the gospel to the people to whom he spoke. And now Paul, writing to this Corinthian church, provides us with an insight into his life, into his priorities, into his motives as he writes this letter to them. And he expresses in our text this morning these words: "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also." Now, as we think about these verses, I want you to consider firstly that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is what is in a person's heart that governs their lives, governs their choices, governs their disposition, governs their words, governs their actions, governs their attitudes. It is what is in them. The heart of a man governs the man. And out of that heart then words flow. Words are spoken. What are those words that are spoken? Are they good words? Or are they evil words? Are they upbuilding words? Or are they words that tear down? Are they healing words? Or are they hurting words? Well, Paul says, "We've spoken freely to you." Literally, the Greek reads, "Our mouth is open to you. Our heart is wide open. We know the Apostle Paul's heart because of what he speaks. We know the Apostle Paul's inner seat of being because we observe how he has communicated and what he has communicated. And Paul's heart for the Corinthians is evident in this letter. Paul's heart is big towards the Corinthians. That literally is the word that is used for wide open. It is enlarged towards them. It is big towards them. He is big-hearted towards the Corinthians. And we understand that idea. We understand that picture of a big-hearted person. A big-hearted person is a generous person. A big-hearted person wants to do good to the people around them. A big-hearted person showers those around them with goodness. That's what a big-hearted person does. And Paul says, I'm big-hearted towards you. My heart is enlarged towards you. My heart is wide open towards you. Now, Paul had not always had a big heart for the church. He didn't always have a heart that overflowed with a desire to do good to the church. We know the beginnings of the story of the Apostle Paul, don't we? Of the Saul who stood and looked after the garments of those who were stoning to death the first martyr of the Christian church. How he applauded their choice to execute this follower of Jesus Christ by the appointed means of the Mosaic law. Paul, we know, was one whose heart was hard towards the church, whose heart was unyielding towards it. He went about everywhere seeking to imprison the followers of Jesus Christ. He rejoiced when they were executed. He wanted to do away with this sect within Judaism. He wanted it to be annihilated, totally and forever destroyed. And he saw it as his mission to set about destroying it. He even took letters, as we know, from the elders in Jerusalem that he might travel to other places, to the synagogues, and to find any there that would be followers of Jesus Christ, and to bring them back to Jerusalem where they would be tried and punished. He had his heart set upon persecuting Jesus Christ through destroying Christ's church. But Paul's heart was transformed. Paul's heart was changed. That hard, stubborn, ruthless, unfeeling heart was taken away, and the Apostle Paul was given a new heart. It all happened on that journey to persecute the church in Damascus. It all happened when the Lord Jesus Christ came to Paul. When he confronted Paul with his folly, when he confronted Paul with his misunderstanding, when he confronted Paul with his unbelief, when he confronted Paul with the truth, and the truth of Jesus Christ shone so brightly that day that all of Paul's hatred and all of Paul's hardness and all of Paul's unbelief was burned away in its brightness. And he was left naked and exposed before God, who filled him with his love, who filled him with his goodness, who filled him with his peace. So that the Apostle Paul, from that day forward, sought the good of the church that he had once despised and persecuted. And instead of travelling around everywhere seeking out followers of Jesus Christ so that he might persecute them and destroy them, now the Apostle Paul journeyed wherever he could seeking out sinners who could be saved by Christ, who could be brought to Christ, who could have the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shine into their lives and change their hearts so that they too would be followers of Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul, the persecutor of the church, the destroyer of the followers of Christ, now was seeking to multiply followers of Jesus Christ. And everywhere he went, this was his mission. And he would endure all kinds of hardship to succeed in this mission. He would endure all kinds of scorn, all kinds of opposition in order to succeed in this mission. He would preach the gospel in the synagogues until they drove him out. He would preach the gospel in the marketplaces until they drove him to the authorities or thrust him out of the city. He would preach the gospel among the wise philosophers of the Roman world until they would listen no more and laugh him to scorn. He would preach the gospel beside the rivers among the women who gathered to pray. And he would preach the gospel in the prison cell into which he had been thrown. He would preach the gospel before demon-possessed girls, and he would preach the gospel before kings upon their thrones. He would preach the gospel wherever he could, that some in hearing the gospel may have their hearts turned as his heart had been turned, and have their hearts of stone turned into hearts of flesh, and their hearts that were filled with bitterness and cruelty and hatred of God turned to hearts that were filled with joy and with love for their Creator and for the lost world around them. The Apostle Paul had been changed and transformed by the grace of God. And now, with this new heart and this new perspective and this new priority, God's grace was his chief concern. And out of his heart that had been shown such love by God, flowed love to others. He loved those who listened to him. With what earnestness he spoke to them as they listened and as they turned to the scriptures to see if what he was saying was true. With what gratitude he gave thanks to the God who had sent the Spirit of his Son into their hearts to change them. And the Apostle Paul's heart overflowed with love for those who listened to him with puzzled brows and twisted lips and scornful voices. He yearned for them, that they might turn from the hardness of their hearts. He yearned for them, that they might understand the word of God and see in Jesus Christ the Messiah who had been promised. He would give his own life if it would mean the salvation of his brother Israelites. Such was the change in his heart. No sacrifice would be too great for the Apostle Paul to make, that the gospel may be heard, that the gospel may be understood, that the gospel may be believed, that the gospel may have its transforming effect upon the people to whom he spoke. And so his heart is wide open towards these Corinthians, and his mouth is open with words of grace, with words of love, with words of concern. And some of those words of love and words of concern are not easy words to hear. They're not all positive words. They're not all a pat on the back and the suggestion that they're doing well and to keep up the good work. But Paul's love and Paul's concern for this church in Corinth spills out in words of warning. It spills out in arresting words, in challenging words, in questioning words. But he is deeply concerned that this church grow together in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, in love for their God and for their brothers. And that would include him. As an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and a minister of the new covenant, he does not speak empty words from an empty heart. He is not a clanging gong or cymbal. But his words are open and honest words to his readers. He has said that at the beginning of his letter. We are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand. You can take us at face value, Paul was saying to them. You can understand what we're writing. You don't need to look between the lines and conjure up some other message from us. What we write is plain, and our concern for you is readily understood. This is our love, these are our words, and they flow out of a heart that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and loves Christ's people. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so Paul speaks from a heart that has been opened by Christ to the love of God and overflows with that love to the world around him. But the second thing I want you to see as we consider these verses is that because of hardness, faith fails. Because of hardness, faith fails. Paul says to them, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. You're not constrained by anything that we are saying. You're not limited by anything that we have done. It is in yourselves that is the root cause of any constraint, of any limitation in the blessings that you ought to have in Jesus Christ our Lord. These Corinthian Christians are listening to voices that are not speaking truth. from hearts that are not overflowing with the love and the grace of God. They're listening to lying tongues. They're listening to deceitful claims that are seeking to undermine their confidence in the Apostle Paul, who had planted and established their church and who has such an abiding concern for them that they are a burden that he carries about with him every day of his life. But they don't see that. They don't understand that. They're not hearing that in the words that he speaks and writes to them. And it is because their hearts have become hard. We know that in the Old Testament, the Israelites were known for the hardness of their hearts. They're often described as hard-hearted, as stubborn-willed people. And Ezekiel, a little like Isaiah, called to be a prophet of God, called to proclaim the word of God, was warned that people would not hear him. They would not listen to him. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and in verse 7 it says, "The house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart." That was characteristic of Israel toward their God, who spoke to them through his prophets, who spoke to them out of concern for them, who spoke to them out of love for them. They weren't always easy words to hear, but they were always words that came from a heart of love and concern. But their heart was hard, and they couldn't recognize that. They didn't understand that, and so they would not hear those words. And there's a great danger then, when hearts are hardened. In Mark's Gospel, in the last chapter of that Gospel, Jesus says to his disciples in verse 14, afterward he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and we're told that he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. They wouldn't believe when the women came. They were in utter disbelief at this testimony that they bore that Jesus had risen from the dead. Despite the fact that Jesus had told them that this is exactly what would happen, they would not believe. Their hearts were hard, he says. Hardened in unbelief. The tragedy is that these are people who were with Jesus, who had witnessed Jesus' life, who had heard Jesus' words. And yet their response under these situations reflects the sinner's disposition. This is what sinners are like. This is what the world is like. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 18, "They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart." And in Romans, he had warned the Jews in the church in Rome to whom he was writing in chapter 2 and in verses 4 and 5, and says, "Do you presume on the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed?" Paul is writing to these Corinthians now, and he is saying to them, "We haven't restricted you. We haven't limited you. You limit yourselves in your own affections. He is saying, you are hardening your hearts. You are hardening your hearts to the truth. You are hardening your hearts to the Word of God, even as you are hardening your hearts toward the messenger of God. For the messenger of God is speaking the Word of God. Why would they not hear Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3? Because they would not hear God. They refused to listen to God. God tells Ezekiel. No wonder they're not going to listen to Ezekiel when he is the prophet of God proclaiming the Word of God. And the problem is that here in the church in Corinth, there are those who are beginning to harden their heart against the Word of God that comes through the Apostle Paul to them. Paul has done everything that he can to ensure that there is nothing in his ministry that is at fault that would put an obstacle to their progress. He has exerted himself to be the kind of apostle that makes the grace of God clear to those who will hear. Paul's ministry has been no obstacle, but through their hardness and through their unbelief, they have become closed to him. They've shut off their hearts to him. And in shutting their heart to him, as the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and the minister of the new covenant, they have shut their hearts to Christ and are no longer hearing Christ's word to them. And because they're not hearing the word because of the hardness of their heart, then their faith is failing. They're not believing. They're not nodding their heads in agreement and saying, this is true. This is right. I need to go to God. I need to repent of my sins. I need to humble myself before him. I need to plead with him for mercy. I need to find grace at the throne of grace in my time of need. For if they believed, they would heed and they would turn. But through hardness of heart, faith fails and they begin to be blind to their need and unyielding to the appeals of the apostle. And so, I want you to see in the third place, that Paul calls upon them to open wide your heart. Open your heart. You're constricting your heart. You're closing your heart. You're restricting your heart to the truth that comes through the messenger of God sent to you. Open wide your heart. I'm speaking to you as children, Paul says to them. He wants their hearts. We all know what that is. For a parent to want their child's heart. You know it if you're a parent, and you know it if you've a child. So that covers everyone in this room this morning. Parents want their child's love. Parent wants their child's respect. Parent wants to see their child smile when they come to them to help them, to guide them, to direct them. A parent wants their child to understand what real love is. That sacrificial love that isn't full of empty praise, but is full of sound wisdom. Every parent wants their child to begin to appreciate that their parenting is for their good, because of love. And they want their children to respond with love. And of course, some of us eventually get it. We eventually understand. You know, long after we've left home, long after we've gained our independence and are living our lives, and we look back and we wish we'd responded differently. We wish we'd understood then. And Paul yearns for these Corinthians. He's speaking as to children. They're not children for the most part. They're adults. And yet they don't see, they don't understand, they're not clear on who the apostle is and how the apostle is serving them. And he appeals to them, widen your hearts to me. Widen your hearts to me. It's not that he simply wants their praise. It's not that he wants them to think of him as, well, the best pastor they ever had. And no one can surpass the Apostle Paul as their pastor. He doesn't want their praises in that way. But what he wants is for them to come to Christ and to walk with Christ all the days of their lives, to live their lives worthy of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for them, for the forgiveness of their sins. Paul wants their hearts because he is the representative of Christ to them. He is the messenger of Christ to them. He is the minister of the new covenant of Christ to them. And he wants them to receive him then. He wants them to trust him. He wants them to heed him. And so he appeals, widen your hearts also. And this widening of their hearts, this opening of their hearts, must be a response to the gospel. It must be a response to the grace of God. And that is really what Paul has been appealing all the way through so far in this letter. He has been directing their attention to God. To the God who has done so much good for them. To the God who has loved them so overwhelmingly. To the God who has served them in such humility. To the God who has endured for them. To the God who has been patient with them. He has spoken to them of this good news of a God who is long-suffering and who is ready to forgive. He has preached to them this gospel of God's grace that has opened their eyes to the danger of eternal condemnation and directed them to the Lord Jesus Christ as the atoning sacrifice for their sins. And surely that good news of gospel grace should open their hearts, should soften their hearts, should turn their hearts. Indeed it had when they first heard it. It had turned them to Christ. And he writes to them now as brothers in Christ, as saints in the church. This gospel has drawn them to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, to bow in allegiance to him, to give their submission to him. And so their sins have been confessed. And they have sought his peace. They once were callous and hard, but now they have humbled themselves before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has turned them from their rebellion to repentance, and from their hatred to honour him. It is all the gospel that has done this work in the first place, and it is this gospel that must continue to warm the affections of the heart, to fill the heart with selfless love as we behold the selflessness of the Lord Jesus Christ in his mission to provide atonement for the sins of his people. This gospel news must mark the lives of those who proclaim it, who declare it to sinners all over the world. Their own lives must be lives that have been opened up and transformed by this same gospel, so that men may sing, "Blessed are the feet of him who brings good news." The messenger of this gospel of peace, the lips that speak of a saviour from God, the words that direct a sinner to the saviour, that they might find peace. The heart should open up to such a one, to receive that one with deep affection and gratitude, as it receives the Saviour and the Christ who sent the messenger. Open wide your heart, the Apostle Paul says, that the gospel may fill it and overflow from it, and you might esteem us in this work for Christ's sake. Paul is the servant of the God who opens hearts by his grace. Oh, Paul. Paul cannot open people's hearts. No preacher can open a person's heart. It is as hard as a rock. It is impregnable. It cannot be split by the words of a preacher. It cannot be broken into by reason. No preacher can open a person's heart. This is the work of the Spirit of God. And yet, it is through gospel preaching that hearts are opened. It is through the declaration of Christ coming into this world to save sinners that the hearts of those sinners are turned from stone to flesh, from impenetrably hard hearts into soft and receptive hearts. And so Paul is committed. He's committed to the proclamation of this gospel to sinners who are dead in their trespasses and sins, that they might be made alive in Christ Jesus. But you see that Paul never ever gives up on this gospel all through a Christian's life. He continues to remind them of this gospel, of this good news, of this saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the great motivator to love and good works. Paul is committed to the proclamation of this gospel. And he will do everything that he can to ensure that there is no obstacle in anyone's way, that the grace of God may not be received in vain. But it is the duty of every person to open wide their heart to the word of Christ. No one will be able to stand before Jesus Christ on the last day and say, but you didn't open my heart, when they have been commanded to open their hearts. There can be no excuse. The psalmist quoted in Hebrews says, do not harden your heart. Don't do it. Don't turn a deaf ear. Don't respond with indifference. Do not shut out the word of life. Or the messenger may be weak. His manner may be unwelcome. But receive the message of God's grace and allow it to infuse your heart with love for God, and let that love overflow to the people around you, that together you may grow in love and glorify Christ who loved you. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask, work by your Spirit in our hearts, that we might not harden them to your word. When your word convicts, O Lord God, prevent us from hardening our hearts. When your word hurts, O Lord, do not allow us to turn away from it, to flee from its truth. We pray, our Father, that you would work in us by your Spirit to receive your word, the challenges, the chastenings, the corrections, as much as we receive the smile and the word of acceptance and the praise. O Lord, help us not to shut our hearts, but to open them wide to your gospel, to your Christ, and to his servants. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.